topics we're going to talk about tonight are the framework and the foundation for looking at all of existence on a much deeper level. And I have to tell you that once I began to learn this material, it really changed the way I look at a lot of things, at myself, at life. So I'm not sure the proper order to present things, but I'm going to try to, and I'm going to try hard to present things in an organized, structured way that will hopefully begin to open your eyes to some of the things we're going to be talking about. Step one is probably to recognize that there's something called divinity, something called Elokus. There's something, there's a flow into our existence, into our world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that powers all of creation. The mashal that we often speak about would be electricity. You can build a room, you could build the wires, you could build the light sockets, you can have the light bulbs there. We've spoken about this. But without a constant flow of electricity into the room, so the room will not be lit up. So using that just as a mashal, the entire world, all of existence, only exists because there's something divine coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it powers all of existence. And if for a nanosecond, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would stop powering existence, so then that's it. All the lights would go off. All of existence would cease to exist. All of creation would cease to exist. So from the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world until today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is powering all of existence. And therefore, there is a Elokus. There's a divinity. That's the term we're going to use. Either Elokus, Koach Eloki, divinity, which comes from the word divine. There's something that permeates all of existence. When you learn about topics like this, so you often have to use mishalim. And the reason why we have to use a mashal, a parable, is first of all, because that's the way Hashem created the world. He created the world that physical existence has in it realities that parallel deeper spiritual realities. And Hashem created the world that way in order so that when we would look at the physical world, we would be able to learn things about the spiritual world. Just to give you an example, there is an idea of gravity, which means there's a concept. There's not a concept. There's a principle called gravity. When you throw a ball up, it gets pulled down towards the earth. So it's not just a coincidence that there's a reality like that. That reflects a certain spiritual reality. We know that the Maseilas Sharm writes that a person is naturally drawn down towards the earth, towards physicality. A person wants to soar. He wants to be spiritual. He wants to be deep. And yet he's pulled down towards the ground, towards the Eretz, Artzius. Artzius is a term that is used in Hasidic writing to mean physicality, materialism. So the way that Hashem created the world is that whatever he created in physical existence is there to also teach us something about the spiritual world. And therefore, we're going to use lots of mishalim. Now, many times the mashal is not exact. It's not a perfect mashal, but it gets us thinking. It helps us understand. So we have to look at natural phenomena because they were designed to parallel deeper realities in order to teach us about deeper realities. And that's one of the reasons why when a person studies the natural world, you're training your mind to understand the spiritual reality. Because the things that you see in the spirit, in the physical world, are going to teach us about things that are in the spiritual world. And we started learning a little bit of Mishlei. In the very beginning of Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech says that a key to Chachma is Mashal u'Melitza. You need to understand Mishalim. So we're going to be using a lot of Mishalim. So one of the main mashals that's used, and part of the idea of this introductory shiur, is really just to introduce you to terms, introduce you to concepts and terms. So therefore, when you're learning Sfarim, and you see these concepts referred to, you'll understand where they're coming from, because it's a language that you need to learn. So probably the most often used mashal is that of light. This divinity, this Koach Eloki, this spiritual force that is powering our world, light reflects that idea. And that our world is illuminated with divine light. So whenever we're talking about light and darkness, that's talking about the presence of Elokus, the presence of divinity, and the lacking of divinity. Now, Hashem's relationship with our world is also the term that's used. The terms that are used are terms that reflect the male-female relationship. That the man is the giver, he's the mashpia, and the woman is the receiver. It's true in terms of the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. And we use those terms, male and female. In the Sfarim, they talk about the Dichra, which is Lashon Zachar, Dalet and Zayin switch, and Nukva, which is Nekeva. So whenever there's a reference in the Sefer to the Zachar, it always refers to giving. Whenever there's a reference to Nekeva, it's always a reference to receiving. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that's what we speak about, right? We use these Mishalim of, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is married to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is Ki'ilu, the wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives and Klal Yisrael receives. So we speak about this male-female relationship, this giver versus receiver relationship. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the one who is pumping the earth, the world, all of creation, with a koach Eloki, giving it its existence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the nosein, and existence is the makabel. Okay. We're going to talk at another, if we have other shurim on this, we're going to talk about how this plays itself out in history. But we can't not begin by talking about the original plan and the post plan. The original plan means pre the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and then the reality post the Chet of Adam HaRishon, because that's our reality. And the purpose or the end game of all of existence is to get back to the pre Chet reality. So the world started in the pre Chet reality, it moved into a phase of the post Chet reality, and then eventually the job of Klal Yisrael is to get us back to the pre-chet reality. So what was the original plan? The original plan was that the giving and the receiving, the physical, the let's say the spiritual dimension, the divine energy, and the physical world would be in a seamless union one with the other. Meaning, the Elokus that's pumped into the physical world would be completely revealed, perceptible, in the material world. The mashal, in Kabbalistic terms, they talk about Tferes and Malchus. Tferes is the idea of the koach coming down from Shamayim into our world, the Elokus, and the Malchus is our world that's receiving. And the original plan was that the material world would literally be lit up, illuminated, if we use the light mashal, with Elokus. Meaning, even though it's a physical world, it's a form of materialism, it's a form of physicality that's able to fully express and reveal all of the divine light that it contains. So, if we had to use a mashal, we would use like a piece of glass. If you shine light into a room through a piece of glass, so the room and the light outside are equally bright, ki'ilu, because there's really nothing blocking the sunlight from coming in. Our world was supposed to be like that room, that our world was completely lit up with the light of Elokus, which means that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which nowadays is hidden, you can't see it. Try to convince an atheist that God exists. How are you going to do that? You're not going to be able to point to anything. You're going to be able to say, well, what if this, look at this historical phenomenon. But it's hidden. It's not in your face. It's not like what we read about in Psukim. And the world will be filled like the ocean is filled with water. So the earth will be filled with knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pre the Chet of Adam HaRishon, everything was absolutely clear. This divine flow that was coming into our world was 100% perceptible. The mashal for this is the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Samach, where the Gemara there says that originally the moon was just as bright as the sun. We all know that the moon nowadays is a darkened rock, with no illumination of its own. But originally, the moon was as bright as the sun. Meaning, because as you know, who's the giver in that relationship? Who's the giver? The sun. The moon doesn't give its own light, but the moon reflects. It's illuminated by the light of the sun. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you able to look at the sun? No. Are you able to look at the moon? Yes. Why are you able to look at the moon on a full moon when it's bright? Because it's not reflecting the sun to the same degree that the sun is light. The brightness, the intensity of the sun's light, when it reflects off of the moon, pales in comparison to the actual sunlight. But that's not what it was originally. We all know this. You learned this in Gan. There were two kings. There was the sun and the moon. They were equally bright, which means that if the sun was giving light to the moon was reflecting that light with 100% power, intensity. There was no loss of transmission. And that's what the Gemara tells us, that originally the receiver was just as bright as the giver. That's a mashal for the original reality before the chait. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be mamayit, the sun, the moon. Now, the moon only gives a small, small amount of light. So that's the pre-chait existence is where the moon is just as bright as the sun. And what's the post-chait? What happened after Adam sinned? So the material world was no longer able to fully contain the Elokus. And if it couldn't fully contain the Elokus, it certainly couldn't reveal it. So the revealed Elokus, the revealed divinity in our world, was concealed. It was darkened. There's still a little bit there. The moon does reflect a little bit of the sun's light, but it pales into comparison of what it originally was. Now you have to realize at its core, and this is true in the physical world as well, the sun is just as strong as it ever was. It's just that we only are able to see a very small amount of it reflecting off of the moon. A different muscle for this would be when it's a cloudy day. When it's a cloudy day, it's not as hot. It's not because the sun is any less bright. It's because there's something blocking the rays of the sun from being revealed on Earth, which is the clouds. But the sun is just as bright. So when this chait occurred and the divinity, the presence, if divinity in Elokus sounds too highfalutin and it sounds too abstract, so let's just use the term the presence of Hashem. The presence of Hashem in our world, the presence of Hashem in our world is limited because there are clouds blocking. It doesn't mean that the presence of Hashem is any less powerful, but it's not able to reveal itself the way it originally was. If we use our original mashal of a clear window pane, so you'd have to use a more opaque window frame, something that only lets a little bit of the light in, you know, a clouded window only lets a little bit of the light in. So that's the current state. The material world is still fully powered by the Elokus, by Hashem's presence, and it's just as powerful as it ever was. But its ability to be seen, to be perceived, to be felt, to be revealed in our world, so that pales into comparison to what it originally was. This is the choshech of Olam Hazeh, like the Gemara in Bava Metzia says on Pei Hei. The Gemara says that our world is a world of choshech. What does choshech mean? It means that the light has been darkened. And there's something about choshech. They point out the word choshech is the same letters as the word shachach, to forget. When the light is darkened, so a person begins to forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even exists. Out of sight is out of mind. And when a person fails to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then a person begins to forget who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Now this is true on the macro level. Everything we've been talking about until now has been about the world. It's also true though on a very personal level, on a micro level as well. What does that mean? Adam, it says that Adam, the Gemara in Chagiga describes Adam, that he stretched from one side of earth to the other. He saw from one side of the earth to the other. Originally, Adam, before the chait, his physical body and his spiritual soul worked in a seamless union with each other. Just like the world, whatever's true about the world on the macro level was true about man. Meaning, we all know that we have a spiritual side to us, but we also all feel that we're constantly in this inner power struggle between the physical me and the spiritual me. The physical me likes physical things like steak and other pleasures of the flesh. And the spiritual me is drawn towards tefillah, davening, chesed. So a person is caught in the battle between the physical and spiritual. But it wasn't always like that. Originally, Adam, his physical body, was a unique type of physicality that was able to house the spirituality, and there was a seamless union between them. There was no division between body and soul, between physical and spiritual. They worked perfectly in tandem with each other. This is an amazing Bereishis Rabbah. The Bereishis Rabbah, this what you will start to notice this. It's quoted in Sfarim. It's an amazing idea. The Bereishis Rabbah says, and I don't think this is necessarily meant to be literal, it's supposed to teach us something, that they found in the Sefer Torah of Rebbe Meir that in the pasuk describing Adam Arishon, he was wearing a ksones or. He was clothed in a garment of or, with an ayin, of skin. But in his version, it said a ksones of or, with an aleph, of light. Meaning, the original or one version of the text says a kosnos or, a garment of light. And that is a reference to Adam pre the sin, meaning his body was illuminated with light. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu when he had the most spiritual experience ever that ever happened to mankind? When he went up to Matan Torah, what happened to him? He began to shine with light. Light is a reference to this presence of revealed elokus, of revealed godly presence. So Adam Arishon was originally cloaked in light. But what happened after the sin? His kosnos or with an aleph turned into a kosnos of or with an ayin. Skin is an external casing on our body. But the word ayin vav resh is also iver, it's also blinding. So now his physical body, instead of being illuminated, his physical body is now darkened, it blinds, it conceals. Meaning, you look at yourself in the mirror, do you see a neshama or do you see a guf? You see a guf. You have to really think very hard and be a real mamin to believe that inside there, there's a spiritual core called a neshama. It wasn't originally like that. When Adam looked at himself in the mirror, he saw light. He saw elokus. He saw divinity. But after the sin, there was this bifurcation between body and soul. There was this split. And now when he looked at himself in the mirror, when he felt his skin, so it concealed the light. He didn't see the spiritual him. He only saw the physical him. And man's current state, just like the world's current state, is that there's a split between body and soul. The neshama, just like that divinity that enlightens the world, is pure, it's untouched, it's like it always was. Nothing changed. The chait did not touch your neshama. I have good news for you. No matter what sins you do in your life, those sins will never touch your neshama. Your neshama is untouchable. It can't be blemished. But its ability to be revealed in the guf is going to be impaired. The neshama and the guf want to work in union with each other, but they're unable to because of chait. So the more a person purifies himself, the more his neshama is able to shine in his physical body. And the less that a person works on himself, the less spiritual a person is, the less of his neshama is able to reveal itself. So the world at large and us as individuals, we're stuck in this very unnatural state where the real core of who we are, our neshama, is unable to penetrate. It's like the sunlight that's unable to break through the heavy clouds and cannot illuminate. You know, in halacha, you have a case where people were makabel Shabbos because they thought it was dark already. And it wasn't. There were just such heavy clouds. So when the clouds are so thick, when they're so dense, the light can't shine through. It's just as bright. but it can't shine through. So let's just summarize and add a nuance. There are two realities of Elokus in our world. There's hidden, concealed light, which is unable to be revealed. That is referred to as the Alma de Iskasia. That's the hidden world, the hidden dimension, the hidden light. That is the neshama of the world or the neshama of a person. It's hidden. You can't see it. And then there's the revealed light. That's the Alma de Isgalia. That's the world that's revealed. That's the guf. In some Sfarim, in the Alter Rebbe, Chabad, so in his Sefer, Torah Ur, so he speaks there about using a mashal for this, Yam and Yabasha, the depths of the ocean and the dry land, on the land. The land is the revealed world. You see the trees, you see the fruits, you see the mountains. The ocean is the opposite. When you look at the ocean, you don't see anything. The ocean is very still. But underneath the surface, there's a whole world down there. There's fish and there's plants. There's a lot of action going on under the ocean, but you don't see it. Even if you're on a boat and you look at the ocean, you really just see the surface. It's very still. So he uses this mashal, Yam and Yabasha. The Yam, again, refers to the Alma, the Iskasya, it's the hidden world. The Yabasha refers to the Alma, the Isgalia, what's revealed. One last, let's make another nuanced point about this, and I've already alluded to this, but let's just say it clearly. The Alma, the Iskasya, the hidden world, the Neshama, the light that's unable to be manifest in our world, That is huge. It's powerful. It's overwhelming. And it's pristine, meaning it's untouched by sin. But it's divorced from our physical world. The amount of divinity of Elokus, of light that's revealed in our world, is small. It's dulled down. It's constricted. I'm talking about this thing, these concepts from different angles, because I want you to start understanding the idea here. The mashal we would maybe use is an iceberg. If you look at an iceberg protruding from the surface, so, and this works nicely with our mashal of Yam and Yabasha. So you see a small rock, or you see a small iceberg protruding from the ocean surface. What you see is a tiny fraction of what's really there. There's a huge iceberg, or there's a huge mountain under the ocean. But where is it? It's hidden. It's under the ocean. You don't see it. It's in the Alma de Iskasya. It's the Neshama. All you see, all that's revealed, the guf, is just the very, very tip. So whenever we're speaking about Elokus, whenever we're speaking about divinity, you have to realize when you look at yourself and you say, you know what? I feel spiritual. Some of my neshama is able to reveal itself in this world. You have to realize there's so much more that's not seen. There's so much more that's not seen. Let's use a few terms. Let's introduce ourselves to a few terms that just reflect these ideas. So we've already used the terms neshama and guf. We've used the terms iskasya and isgalia, revealed and hidden. Another terms that are used are terms of Or Makif and Or Pnimi. Or Makif means the light that hovers outside. The Or Pnimi is the light that's able to come in. You have a tremendous, huge store. Imagine yourself for a second. I think the Lashon that the Pizetzner Rebbe in Chovas HaTalmidim, if you have a volume of Chovas HaTalmidim, so at the end of it, he has three essays on Chassidus. So I think in the first essay there, it's an introduction to Chassidus. I think in the first essay there, he speaks about, like, you have to imagine over your head, he says, a mashpech, which is a funnel. Right? You know, you have a funnel that you want to pour things into a bottle. So he says, the neshama is like a funnel. You've got this huge storehouse of divinity, of neshama, of light. but only a small, small amount is actually able to enter you because you're so physical. So the Or Makif is all this light that's outside you that can't come in. It's unable to penetrate because of the state that you're in or the state that the world is in. And the Or Panimi is the small amount that's able to be revealed. Two other terms that we use is Shemos of Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei and Elokim. We always think of Yudkei Vavkei and Elokim as Rachamim and Din, but at a certain deeper place, Yudkei Vavkei reflects the unadulterated Elokus, the hidden Elokus that can't be revealed. This huge storehouse of Elokus, that's Yudkei Vavkei. But it can't manifest itself in our world. That's why we don't pronounce it. How come we don't pronounce Yudkei Vavkei? Because it's not shaykh to our world. It's too big. It's too big to enter our world. So we have to use the shame of Adnus because we can't pronounce Yudkei Vavkei. It's so disconnected from our world. It's so pristine. It's untouched. But because it's so powerful, because it's so pristine, because it's untouched, it can't find a landing pad in our physical world. What's the term we use for Hashem that reflects the small amount of godliness that's able to be revealed in our world? That's Elokim. The term Elokim is the term that we use for Hashem's ability, the amount of light that's able to be revealed in our world. So that's Yudkei Vavkei and Elokim. I'm just going to mention it quickly now because we're going to get back to it later. But in the writings of the Ramchal, he speaks, and I believe in the Zohar as well, but I don't learn Zohar, but I've seen it in the Ramchal. So also Rachel and Leah, the two, right? Yaakov is the real father of the nation. Yaakov becomes Yisrael. He has two wives, Yaakov and Leah, Rachel and Leah. Leah, and we'll get back to this, but Leah represents the neshama, the alma de iskasya, the hidden. And Rachel reflects this lower world, where with the small amounts of Elokus that are barely perceptible in this dark lower world, whatever light is able to be revealed, that's in this world. That's Rachel. That's the koach of Rachel. So what does all this mean to us? What all of this means to us is a very deep and very important idea. And that is that we primarily confront Hashem in the expression of Elokim, the expression in this world. We're not shaykh to the hidden worlds. We're not shaykh to Yudkei Vavkei. We only get to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the small amounts of Kedusha, the small amounts of Elokus that are able to be revealed here in our world. One of the terms that we use for that and something that we try to come into contact with is Shechina. Tanya writes, what does the word Shechina mean? What's the root of the word Shechina? Lishkon, to settle. It's the manifestation of Elokus that's able to settle, to dwell in our physical world. That's also the term kavod, when we use the word kavod. Like at the Mishkan. What was the purpose of the Mishkan? What does the word Mishkan mean? What's the root of the word Mishkan? Shechina. The Mishkan was a tool for bringing more Elokus into the world. Remember, there's this huge store of Elokus, but it can't enter our world. So by making our world a better kli for Elokus, like it was originally pre-sin, so we're able to bring more light into the world. And that's why, as you know, the body of a person is compared to the Mishkan. Because the more pure your body is, the more of a Mishkan your body is, the more Shechina is able to enter. You don't have to create Shechina. It's all there. It's just waiting to have a receptacle that can house it. Right now, the world is so dark. It's so concealed. It's so darkened. It won't allow any light in. But the Mishkan is a tool for allowing more light in. And that's why when they built the Mishkan, it said, Vayera Lechem Kvod Hashem. So the term Shechina, the term Kavod, these are terms for the introduction of light into our world. And that's our mission. Our mission is to bring more light, to build the Mishkan, to build a way to bring more. That's why Rachel You know, when I said a minute ago that Leah is the deeper neshama and Rachel is the guf, you were probably thinking, wait a second, what are you talking about? Rachel, she's the ikker. She is the ikker on a certain sense. Just like on a certain sense, Elokim is the ikker and not Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why? Because of course Yud Kei Vav Kei is the ikker, but we can't relate to it. It doesn't find expression in our world. So therefore, Rachel is the mother of our nation. She's the one who teaches us how to interact in our world. She's the one who cries when we suffer. She's the one who's not buried in Maras HaMachpelah with everybody else. Maras HaMachpelah is for all of the people who are out of this world. She's on the road. Why? Because she's part of the journey. What's the journey? The journey is to get us back to the pre-Chet existence. So she's on the side of the road and she's crying with us because that's what Rachel is. She's the manifestation of Hashem in this world. Now, there are many manifestations of this duality. Just Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is beyond us. We don't understand it without Chazal. Torah Shebaal Peh is bringing it down to our world. It's the manifestation of Torah in this world. Even Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Shayach to Leah. Beis Shammai Shayach to Neshama. Beis Shammai, he's right, Liachris Hayamim. He's right. But not in our world. Our world is Beis Hillel, and they're not really arguing Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel is how things are manifest in this world. So there's lots of things, Moshe and Aaron, Guf and Neshama. So we're gonna get back to a lot of these things. But as much as our Avoda is the manifestation of Kedusha in this world, Shechina, Kvod Hashem, the manifestation of Elokus, we also can never lose sight of the higher source of Elokus, of where we started and what we're headed towards. Meaning we're only shayach to the Alma de Izgalia, but we can never lose sight of the Alma de Izkasya. And I think that that is the yisod of Kedusha. And I think if you've been following, you know, for some people this is just too abstract and they say like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, it sounds like you've been smoking something. But if you're hearing what I'm saying, so for me at least, this changes the way I say the Kedusha davening. Because what is the Kedusha davening? The prayer of Kedusha is an affirmation that there's a greater reality beyond what you see. We all live in a physical world, and it's so easy to be caught up in science and in physicality. And to think that this is everything. You know, we all know you get swept up by materialism. So we have to, on the one hand, seek to find the Kedusha in our darkened world, whatever small amounts of Kedusha are able to be revealed. But in addition to that, you can't lose sight of the fact that there's even deeper and deeper amounts of Kedusha that are much deeper than this. And that, I think, is what we say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh means deeper or higher and higher and higher. It's brought down in the Sefer HaCholos that when you say Kadosh, 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 normally in davening, it's a discussion of the Gemara and Yevamos, but generally in davening, you're supposed to be focused down, humbled. But when you say Kadosh, 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 you're actually supposed to raise your head up and look up to the heavens. Because you're saying higher and higher. Hashem is Kadosh, and he's further than that, and he's further than that, he's further than that. And yet, Melochol Haaretz Kevodo, Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melochol Haaretz Kevodo is a statement of I recognize there's a much much deeper hidden reality, but I am at least searching for the Kavod, how it's manifest here in this world. And great people, you should know, have Shaychus to that deeper level. Great people have Shaychus to that deeper level. First of all, there are times in history when Hashem reveals that deeper level to the world. That is what, now you'll understand. What do we say? What did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu when he introduced himself before Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim was a breaking of nature. It was a breaking of this darkened world where you don't see God's presence. If there was ever a time in history when God's presence was seen with bright light, besides in the pre-Chet world, it was at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Now you'll understand it. What does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, to the Avos, I revealed myself with other names, like Kel Shakai, which is a world name of creation. But to you, Ushmi Hashem, the shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Lo Nodati Lahem. I haven't revealed myself as Yud Kei Vav Kei, but I'm going to reveal myself now at Yetzias Mitzrayim with Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that's why we know that Mitzrayim was done Hashem Bechvodo Uva'atzmo. There was a revelation of the full light, like it was pre-chet. There was a moment of that. In fact, what does the Pasuk say, drawing on one of the other mushals that we used? What does the mushal say? What does the Pasuk say regarding Kriyas Yamsuf? Hashem took the Yabasha, he took the Yam, and he turned it into Yabasha. Right? That's what it says in the Pasuk. There was Yabasha b'sochayom. According to what we've been saying, what does that mean that there was Yabasha b'sochayom? It means Hashem revealed what was hidden. All of a sudden, that which was Yam, that which was the Alma de Iskasya, all of a sudden became the Alma de Isgalia. He revealed that deeper Elokus that's normally hidden from us. In the Nefesh HaChaim, in the fifth perek, in the Haggah there, he writes, using some of the imagery we've spoken about, that this physical world is like the na'al, like the shoe of a person. Think about it. There's this big person, a big adult, 6 feet tall. How much of his body does he get into his shoe? Only a tiny little amount. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, that is a mashal for the neshama and the guf. The neshama in our mashal is the body, this huge 6 foot thing. And how much of it can actually connect to the physical body? Just a small tip gets into the shoe. It's a small tip of who you are. The shoe is the physical you, and the body is your neshama. And only a small amount is able to enter the shoe. In fact, there's a Gemara in Brachos that says that if you have a dream of your shoe falling off, it means you're going to pass away. Why? Because when the physical body separates from the neshama, that's death. So the shoe falling off of the body is a symbolism for death. And the Nefesh HaChaim says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to speak to people and reveal himself to people, meaning reveal the Elokus, not in its concealed form, but in its revealed form, what does he say? He always calls people by their name twice. Avram, Avram. Right? And then Avram says, Hineni. Why twice? Because he's calling to both parts of man, to the neshama and the guf. Normally, if he would just say Avram, he's referring to the guf. But he says, Avram, Avram. And what's one of the first things that you're told when you have an experience with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Sha'al na'aglecha me'al raglecha. Take off your shoe. Separate from the physical. You're about to have a connection that's be outside of the shoe. All right, let's just end with one very lemaisa manifestation of this reality that we've discussed. And this is, Rav Kook has an essay about this, a letter about this. This is the idea, the dual nature of what it means to be a Jew. We're told in the Pesukim by Matan Torah that we'll be a segula mikol ha'amim, and we'll also be a goy kadosh. Says, I believe the Malbim says it, but Rav Kook in a letter develops this idea very beautifully. Every Jew has an inherent kedusha just from the fact that he's a Jew. That's what's referred to in the Pasukim of a skula mikol ha'amim. A skula, what's a skula? Skula means something without a reason. Without you doing anything, you're shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're Jewish. And that is a part of you that can never be destroyed. That's what we refer to as the pintel yid. That small ember that continues to burn, that spark that burns inside a person that can be, you know, enlivened and it can be turned into a fire. What is that spark? That's the Elokus, that's the concealed Elokus that can't be touched, but it's not revealed. It doesn't manifest itself. You can have a guy, he looks and lives totally like a goy. There's no Jewishness being revealed, but that doesn't change the fact that it's in there. It's hidden, but it's in there. But in those psukim, we're not only called a skula mikola amim, we're also called a goy kadosh. And a goy kadosh is a person who manifests the kedusha. Kedusha is the manifestation of godliness in our world. So a goy kadosh means you don't just sit back and know, okay, deep down inside, I have this core that's holy, that's pure, that's godly, but you actually manifest it in this world. You go out and you do mitzvos. What do we say in our mitzvos? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. You make us holy. What do you mean you make us holy? I thought we're all holy. I thought we have this neshama that's deep in there. It is. But that's not what kedusha means. Kedusha, like shechina, like kavod, kedusha is the manifestation of Hashem's godliness in this world. So a goy kadosh means that you don't just have this core that's holy, but you manifest your holiness. Your holiness is expressed outward. And those are the two elements of being a Jew. Being a skula mikol ha'amim, having that inner kedusha, that kadosh, 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 that's beyond. And then there's the melocha la'aretz kvodo. There's the goy kadosh. So we look at our non-frum co-religionists and we say, you're holy, but I don't see the holiness. To see the holiness, asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, we need to do the mitzvos, we need to learn, we need to daven, and those are our tools for expressing the kedusha.